Is there a place in time where logic breaks down and wonderment begins? Could that be somewhere or sometime along an indefinable line between the reasonable and the highly unlikely? Makeshift Stories presents a monthly journey into the improbable.
Today's story, 195, Persona non grata, part 1, read by Mitchell Tu. Audio post-production by Matthew Erdman. Somewhere and sometime, what would you do if you did not have the rights to use your identity? Hey everyone, look what I just got delivered this morning. Do you know what this is? Comment below! Comment below! Lauren encouraged, pointing to the bottom of the frame. Then, she held up a thin, black, cardboard package so her viewers could see it. Do you want me to unbox this? Maybe I should wait. No, you're saying? Open it now? Well, let me think about it. Okay, I'll admit, I'm as excited as you. Just stay with me for a bit. She gave the IRL cam mounted to a selfie stick strapped to her shoulder a big, knowing grin, then walked from her front entrance into her home studio and settled down in front of a green screen already keyed to a photoshopped image of the Academy Awards with her name spelled out in lights. She turned and spoke directly into her new high-res DSLR camera. The lights auto-adjusted so the video levels were perfect. It had taken her and a tech friend weeks to get this set up right. I've been waiting for this for such a long time. Lauren gently placed the package down on her desk, then held a carbon fiber letter opener emblazoned with her logo up to the lens long enough for her fans to connect with it. 3.5 seconds, just as another friend who worked in an ad agency had recommended. A lower third automatically appeared with the URL of her merch store. Then she attacked the tape on the package, knifing the edges open as she amped up her smile, feigned surprise, then looked up into the virtual eye of the camera and hopefully into the hearts of her fans. Next, she slipped in a pitch for support. You can help me out by hitting subscribe if you're not already on board. Even better, head over to my page on backme.com, address below. You can support this channel for as little as $1 a month. You'll receive all my bonus material, get access to the members forum, and special discounts on my merch. Hey, and thanks to all of you who are already supporters. Without you, this channel would not be possible. Now, let's see what this mysterious package is, as if, thanks to you all, we don't know. Lauren gave the camera an exaggerated wink, then flipped the lid back to reveal a dark blue sheet of paper, which she slowly slid aside, revealing a golden view button icon on a plaque with her channel's name engraved under it. Ooh, check this out! Wow, and hey, there's a letter! And it's personalized to... She casually held the piece of paper up, revealing a well-known logo in the top left corner. It's just from someone called Drew, CEO. Lauren acted disappointed. And they just want to congratulate me on my subscriber milestone and want to help celebrate my achievement and want my experience to be exceptional. And on top of that, this award was personally inspected and packaged with great care by Cameron. Good on you, Cameron. I'm sure it's perfect. No spelling mistakes, I bet. Pretty awesome, right? Want to hear the whole thing? Lauren paused, drawing the moment out. Okay then, here we go. You are bigger than Slovenia. You're bigger than Jupiter. 2 million subscribers. Maybe you never thought you would get so popular, or so many would discover and come to appreciate your creativity, your uniqueness, and you. Maybe you never imagined that your face and voice would inspire over 2 million people across the globe. We know that touching the lives of so many people is a reward on its own, but we are incredibly proud of what you have done. So please accept this award as a token of our admiration. With your talent, we know you are going to continue to grow, and we can't wait to watch you reach the next milestone, 12 million subscribers. That may seem like an impossibility, but remember the day you were over the moon when you got your first 100? Yeah, I do, Lauren added. Creatives like you are what keep us doing what we do every day. Lauren put the letter down, then turned to the open box, pulled out the award, and ripped the clear wrapping off. Wow, this thing is heavy. No plastic here. Real gold-colored metal. She held the plaque up to the camera lens so people watching could see her name, then set the thing down on the desk with a clunk. I wouldn't be here without you. My name may be on the award, but this is ours. It's for every one of you. And wow, there are so many of you now. 2 million plus? 10 million to go to the Diamond Eye. When do you think we'll get there? Comment below. With your help, it could be soon. You and I, we'll get there together. I know it's a short one, but that's it for today. If you love, like, or just simply think this video is awesome, hit the bell. Love you. Lauren clicked the stop button at the bottom of the recording window, then fell back into her seat. It wasn't her best performance, but not bad either. She'd clean it up, then post it before she logged into the private forum, where she and a few close friends and a select group of long-term supporters were going to celebrate. Lauren wasn't a superstar, not by a long shot. However, over 2 million subscribers meant she was finally making ends meet. Her friends and subscribers claimed she was a natural, but she didn't just turn the cameras on and improvise. She planned every show and rehearsed endlessly to get her timing and expressions just right, and that consumed most of her waking hours. Still, she knew it was a way better reality than most of her friends faced. They all had occasional gigs driving or doing odd jobs in the gated communities. At least her thing was consistent, as long as her subscribers kept growing, which was always a concern. Regardless, today she would celebrate. Years ago, no one around her would have guessed how big her channel would get. Years ago, she was a no one with a passion, like hundreds of millions of kids her age. Lauren had grown up with a video camera in her hand. It was the first birthday gift from her parents which captivated her. She used it to explore the world and her reactions to it, documenting changes in both as she grew up. Then, when she was old enough, she created her first online channel and populated it with astutely selected and edited recordings of her life. She loved the filter of the lens, and lenses seemed fascinated with her. She was making IRL videos before she even knew what the acronym meant. By her early teens, her family, particularly her mother, had all but given up on her because recording, editing, posting, and interacting with her virtual friends had taken precedence over everything else.
Focus on your education. Think about your future. Find something practical to do. You need to make real friends,
her mother had insisted, as if being able to physically touch someone occasionally made them more real than hundreds of hours of online interaction. Many of her subscribers had grown up sharing her challenges, disappointments, and exultations. So, despite never meeting, she had a deep connection with her online community. Lauren wished her mother were still alive to see how great her life had turned out. 2 million plus subscribers, she mused. How many tens of thousands of hours had she devoted over the years to her channel to get there? Was that something to regret? She didn't feel as if she had missed out on anything. As the award letter stated, at the beginning, it seemed like a very long, almost impossible journey. But now Lauren knew it was about to pay off. However, before she could enjoy this milestone, she needed to edit, package, and post the award unboxing to her channel. Thanks to numerous rehearsals, her delivery had been almost error-free, and her moves so natural on camera, the editing didn't take long. An hour later, she was ready to post, then move on to celebrate. Lauren robotically typed in the password to her channel and clicked on upload. A red alert box appeared, claiming the authentication had failed. At first, she thought she had been careless, probably just distracted by the excitement. She typed her password in again, this time clicking on the icon to turn the obfuscating dots off. She noted the password was correct and hit submit, getting the same result. Confused, she opened her password vault, cut and pasted the password into the form field, then tried one more time, Yet again, she was denied access. Had she accidentally changed her login? She started to panic, then calmed herself and hit reset password. Lauren methodically typed in her email address and waited for the reset link to be sent. After what seemed like hours, her email inbox flashed, and she hurried to open the message. But what she read didn't make any sense. "Your admin access to this channel has been suspended?" "Suspended? That's gotta be wrong." She growled and wondered if she had somehow accidentally locked herself out of the account. That had never happened before. Getting a bit anxious, Lauren went back to the password recovery form, typed in her email again, and hit send. Almost immediately, she heard her phone ping. Thinking it was the reset link, she picked it up and thumbed the phone on. Instead, she found a text from a friend, wondering why she wasn't at the online event. Everyone was there waiting for her. "Just gotta post the award video. Weird, I'm having trouble logging in. I'm probably just too distracted." She texted, then scanned her in-basket for the reset email. Nothing had come in. She tried again, fighting to keep the knot growing in her stomach under control. But once more, nothing was sent. Just in case the whole platform was down, Lauren checked her channel. Nothing was wrong. However, there was a new post, and it was only a few minutes old. She opened it and watched, stunned and angry, as a video she had never made showed her reviewing and endorsing a product she would never use. It had been shot in her bathroom, the camera at a 3/4 angle to the mirror so the viewer could see her face in its surface as she applied some appalling cream. She never used the stuff, in fact, avoided it.
"I've been using this for the last 2 weeks," her doppelganger was explaining as she rubbed the cream onto her forehead. "It protects your skin from the harsh effects of pollution and ultraviolet rays. You'll see and feel the improvement almost right away."
Lauren stopped the playback, rage surging through her. If this was a joke the video platform played on their new high-volume award winners, it wasn't very funny. On the other hand, she was stunned by the naturalness of the bogus video. She had heard how good generative adversarial networks were getting at deepfakes. However, this one went well beyond the uncanny valley most counterfeit content fell into. If she hadn't known she didn't record the post, she let the thought settle in for a few seconds before comprehending the implications.
"No one's going to know," she shouted in frustration. "They'll think I've sold out now that I've broken the 2 million mark."
Lauren frantically scanned her desk for the award letter. She was looking for a phone number, but of course there was no contact info on it. She realized they probably send out hundreds a year with the CEO's name and signature. No one in their right mind would put real contact information on something like that. Plus, it was the middle of the night at the company's head office. There would be no one there. Yet, she needed to get that fake video taken down. Lauren cradled her head in her hands, then remembered the chat icon down in the lower right-hand side of the screen on the login page.
"What do you think?"
she whispered rhetorically to the empty room as she poked the icon hopefully with her cursor, already suspecting it would be a bot or an underpaid agent in a call center somewhere on the opposite side of the globe. The thing dutifully animated open, and a text bubble appeared. "Hi, I am Andrew, your virtual agent. How may I help you tonight?" Lauren swore, but she was desperate.
"I'm Lauren Nemitz."
She wasn't going to waste time on niceties talking to a machine.
"Your company just gave me a Gold View Award. I'm locked out of my channel and someone else is posting on it."
The bot waited a prescribed length of time to make it seem like an actual human was thinking about the answer, then responded. "Go to the creator's login page, click on Forgot Password, and type in the email address you used to set up the account." It paused again, then messaged. "Did that answer your question?"
"No,"
Lauren typed emphatically in caps.
"No, no, no. I want to speak to a human agent."
I'm sorry, but no client experience agents are currently available. If you leave your email, someone will get back to you within one business day. The bot responded. Lauren screamed at the monitor, felt silly, then typed in her email address. It was all she could do, then added, assuming someone would eventually read the transcript.
If this is some kind of joke you play on award recipients, it's not funny. Stop.
The chatbot remained frustratingly mute. Wild ideas mushroomed up like thunderclouds in Lauren's mind. Maybe they had harvested her IP address and the video only showed up for her. She had heard somewhere on a forum they had pranked several top creators. Once she connected with support, they'd let her in on their little joke, and she'd let them know how much she didn't appreciate it. Yes, that had to be it. They would get her on a live chat and spring the real surprise on her, new gear for her studio or a major sponsorship. The idea helped tamp her anxiety back into her brain's amygdala long enough for her to open another browser window and join the online celebration. However, before she even had a chance to say hello, she found herself inundated with queries, like, "I can't believe you posted that," and "What's happened to you?" and "Do you really believe that overpriced junk works?" It was not the way she had imagined her celebration starting. She spent an hour denying she had sold out, then, exhausted, signed off early. Sleep evaded Lauren. She found out the post on her channel wasn't an isolated incident. She was apparently endorsing products and politicians on other shows she never paid attention to and would certainly never agree to appear on. It was just all too weird. She couldn't deny the person who had recorded these clips looked, sounded, and acted exactly like her. Even spookier, they all appeared to have been shot in her apartment studio. She spent the balance of the night checking the doorbell video for the last month and didn't find anything unusual. But how could she tell if one of those Laurens entering and leaving wasn't her mysterious doppelganger? After all, she couldn't remember every time she had entered and left the place. As soon as the East Coast offices opened, Lauren went straight to the company's direct phone line. She had managed to coerce the number out of a fan who used to work at the platform, with the explicit promise she'd only use it in an extreme emergency. As far as she was concerned, this was. Her heart tried to break out of her chest as she waited for the connection. Then, finally, she got through. Sort of. "Your call is important. To assist in directing you to the right person, please listen to the following options." The interactive voice response system cheerily informed her. However, before the machine could start listing a confusing list of ambiguous options, Lauren punched zero on the virtual keypad. There was a pause and a few clicks before the system came back and replied, "Transferring you to a customer experience agent." She heard a few more clicks before a man with an unplaceable accent answered.
"Hello, I'm Max. How can I help you today?"
"I'm locked out of my channel and someone else is posting on it," Lauren blurted out.
"Can you please give me the email address you signed up with?"
Max calmly replied, giving Lauren the impression that everything would be okay.
"It's been 10 years. I would have been 12 or... no, 13. Let me think."
Lauren struggled to remember the first email address she had used. It took 3 tries before she got it right. The agent confirmed her name and asked a security question before continuing.
"Okay then, Ms. Dabrowski. I can see the account. There is a note on the file. Can I put you on hold while I look into this?"
"Do I have a choice?"
she growled, not meaning to sound so sarcastic. The line clicked over to company ads and FAQs.
"Having a problem? Check out our online guide. You can find answers to most common issues there. Or try our creators forum," etc., etc.
It seemed to Lauren to be taking too long, feeding her growing concern that something unusual had happened. She was listening to the pre-recorded loop for the 3rd or 4th time when it was suddenly interrupted,
and a different, more authoritative voice came on the line.
Sorry for the wait, Ms. Dabrowski. I was away from my desk when the call came through.
The man on the other end seemed to hesitate.
I regret to inform you there has been a copyright infringement claim filed against your channel. Our legal team assessed the validity of the case and found it to be legitimate. As per our stated policies, which you accepted when you created your account, the complainant had three choices. In your case, the plaintiff chose to claim all the infringing content and your channel as their property, so your access has been deauthorized. In short, you no longer own your channel.
Lauren was stunned. She couldn't fathom how this could have happened. I don't understand. There must be a mistake, a false positive, or a something, Lauren pleaded. It's all original material. I make the music, graphics, and everything. It's just me on camera, and I'm extremely careful not to accidentally get logos or copyrighted material in the background. There's got to be a mistake.
Our legal team is very experienced and works hard to protect the rights of our content creators against questionable claims. But this one was very cut and dry, Ms. Dabrowski. It appears you don't own the rights to your face and voice. I'm sorry, there is nothing we can do.
How could someone own my face? Aren't there laws against identity theft?
Yes, but this is not a theft. The claimant acquired the rights to your image and voice through legal means. Look, you'll have to take this up with the copyright owner, Janus Media International. It has nothing to do with us. I'm sending you their contact information. I'd advise you seek legal representation if you are going to challenge their copyright.
Lauren had never heard of the company, and certainly even in her most wild and reckless moments, she would have never agreed to something like that. An hour later, she found her email inbox full of takedown orders from her blog and every social media platform she had posted a photo of herself on. They all referenced the complainant, Janus Media International. It felt like her life had been stolen. Without her face and voice, what was left?
Makeshift Stories is a proud member of the Alberta Podcast Network, locally grown, community supported. This episode is brought to you in part by ATB Financial. There's nothing like the feeling of putting a smile on someone's face. Enter ATB Goodness Grows, where one act of goodness can create a chain reaction across the province. Through Goodness Grows, ATB will be creating moments where Albertans can come together for a smile. Want to join in? Simply follow the hashtag ATBGoodnessGrows on social to see all the goodness growing across Alberta. Follow along, get inspired, and help share the goodness. Looking for great podcasts? Head over to albertapodcastnetwork.com, where you'll find great podcasts such as I Have Some Notes. Each episode, Greg Beaver, Liam Creswick, and Scott C. Bourgeois punch up a mediocre Hollywood movie. And Creative Block, where twice a month, Kyle Marshall interviews artists and entrepreneurs about creativity in their work and life. That's albertapodcastnetwork.com. Locally grown, community supported. Makeshift Stories is released twice a month around the 1st and the 15th. This month's story was written by Alan V. Hare and read by Mitchell Too. Audio post-production by Matthew Erdman. Opening and closing themes were composed and recorded by David Hume. To find out more about David, head over to davidhume.me. If you'd like to connect with us, please send an email to makeshiftstories@gmail.com or visit our website at makeshiftstories.com. Links to both are in the show notes. You can help us out by subscribing on Apple Podcasts or any of your favorite podcast services. Makeshift Stories is released under a Creative Commons non-commercial attribution, no derivative license, which means you are free to share our stories. Just remember to credit us and don't alter anything.